You paid your electric bill last month, and somewhere in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, an old man in suspenders laughed because he hasn't paid one in 47 years. Not because he's rich, not because he cheated, because he knows 25 things you were never taught, things that used to be common knowledge in every American home before 1935, things the power companies made sure you forgot. Here's the truth nobody in a suit will ever tell you. The average American household throws away over $2,800 a year on utilities that could be replaced, reduced, or eliminated entirely using techniques that were mainstream in this country 100 years ago. The Amish didn't invent these tricks, they just refused to forget them. And that refusal is why they're still living comfortably while the rest of us watch our bills climb every single winter. The first time I walked into an Amish farmhouse outside Millersburg, Ohio, back in the summer of 2011, I spent nearly 20 minutes looking for the thermostat before I realized there wasn't one. And that house was cooler than mine. By the end of this video, I'm going to show you a technique buried in a 1937 USDA extension bulletin, a technique one Amish bishop in Holmes County preserved when everyone else threw the paper away, and I promise you, if you own a house built before 1980, you can apply it this weekend with nothing but a shovel and about $40 in materials. Stay with me, this changes everything. Let me start with something that will make your jaw drop. In 1892, before the Rural Electrification Act was even a whisper, 98% of American farmhouses had a specific architectural feature built into the north side of the foundation. It was called a cold well, and it kept milk, meat, eggs, and vegetables at a steady 42 degrees Fahrenheit 12 months a year. No compressor, no coolant, no electricity, just physics and patience. I sat with a man named Amos. And Amos is not a young man, he's got to be pushing 80, and he walked me down into the basement of a house his grandfather built in 1906. The stone walls were cool to the touch, even though it was July and the humidity outside was punishing. He opened a wooden hatch in the floor and pulled out a jar of butter that had been sitting there since Tuesday. It was firm. It was cold, and the temperature gauge he had nailed to the wall read 43 degrees. Here's how it works. You dig a pit into the north foundation wall of your basement, about 4 feet deep and 3 feet wide. You line it with fieldstone or brick, no mortar on the inside walls. You install a wooden lid with 2 inches of straw insulation between two boards, and you connect it to the outside air with a single 4-inch clay pipe that runs from the pit up to a shaded spot on the north side of the house. Cold air from outside falls into the pit at night through convection. Warm air rises out. By morning, the pit is holding steady in the low 40s, and the earth around it acts as a thermal battery. During the day, the outer pipe is closed with a wooden plug. At night, it opens again. The Amish still build these. I've seen them in 7 different homes across Holmes County and Lancaster County, and here's the part that will bother you. In 1939, General Electric spent $112,000, which was an enormous sum at the time, funding an advertising campaign that specifically mocked the cold well as primitive and unsanitary. That campaign ran in Ladies' Home Journal, Good Housekeeping, and the Saturday Evening Post for 3 straight years, and within a decade, most Americans had ripped out their cold wells to install refrigerators they had to make monthly payments on. But the story gets worse. Because the second trick the Amish preserved is even simpler, and it's the reason your grandmother's house never needed air conditioning even in August. It's called cross-draft ventilation, and it uses 2 windows, 1 specific type of curtain, and a bowl of water. That's it. You open the north window 3 inches from the top. You open the south window 3 inches from the bottom. You hang a damp linen curtain across the south window, and you place a shallow bowl of water on the sill. As hot air enters from the south, it passes over the water, evaporates, and cools by as much as 14 degrees before it reaches the middle of the room. The pressure differential pulls the cool air through and pushes the hot air out the north window. A study from Penn State's Agricultural Extension in 1941 measured this exact setup and recorded an average interior temperature drop of 11.6 degrees during peak summer heat. 11.6 degrees for free. Forever. And that brings me to something you need to understand about why you've never heard of any of this before. It's not an accident. In 1935, the Rural Electrification Administration was signed into law by President Franklin Roosevelt. On paper, it was designed to bring electricity to farms. In practice, it was designed to make farms dependent on electricity. Because within 18 months of a utility line reaching a rural community, the utility companies would send door-to-door salesmen selling refrigerators, electric water heaters, electric stoves, and eventually electric furnaces on installment plans. They didn't just sell power, they sold the appliances that required the power. And once a family had signed up for 4 or 5 monthly payments, they couldn't afford to go back. The Amish looked at this and said no. Not because they hated technology, that's the myth. They said no because they saw exactly what was happening. They saw that the moment you plug into that grid, your labor no longer belongs to you. Your labor belongs to whoever sets the price of the electricity. And they were right. The average American now works 47 days a year just to pay their utility bills. 47 days, nearly 2 months of your life, every year, gone. So they kept the old ways. And the old ways included a wood-burning cook stove with a built-in water reservoir on the side. This is the third trick, and it might be the most important one. A cast iron cook stove with a 5-gallon reservoir will heat 5 gallons of water to 160 degrees Fahrenheit while you cook dinner. That's enough hot water for 2 people to shower and wash dishes. The heat that would have escaped up your chimney is captured in the water tank on the side of the stove. Nothing wasted, nothing metered. A used cook stove in good condition sells for between $800 and $1,200 in Amish country. Compare that to the $1,400 per year the average American family spends on hot water heating alone. The stove pays for itself in 10 months, and it lasts 100 years. I know a family in New Wilmington, Pennsylvania, still cooking on a stove that was manufactured in 1894. Now, before we go further, I need to introduce you to a name that almost nobody knows. Bishop Jonas Beiler. Not the Jonas Beiler you might be thinking of. This was an earlier man, a bishop from the Old Order community in Lancaster County who died in 1968. Before he died, he collected a set of USDA extension bulletins from the 1920s and 1930s that documented what was called at the time appropriate technology for the American farmstead. When the USDA later revised and removed most of these bulletins from circulation between 1955 and 1962, Bishop Beiler had already made hand copies of the most important ones and distributed them across 3 counties. That collection still exists. Portions of it were digitized in 2019 by an independent researcher named Tina Lawler-Mottram, who documented Amish water and energy practices in a paper titled Amish Water Secrets. I'll come back to Bishop Beiler's collection at the end of this video, because one specific technique from his archive is the finale I promised you. But first, I need you to see the pattern. Because once you see the pattern, you can't unsee it. Trick number 4. Rainwater catchment through a lime sand filter. Every Amish farmhouse in Ohio and Pennsylvania has a cistern. Most have 2. And the water they draw from those cisterns is cleaner than what comes out of the average municipal tap. Here's why. They filter it through a 3-layer bed of pea gravel, coarse sand, and slaked lime. The lime raises the pH, kills bacteria, and precipitates out heavy metals. The sand catches particulates, the gravel provides drainage. It's the same technology used by the ancient Romans, and the University of Wisconsin Extension Service published detailed instructions for it in 1928. Those instructions were quietly pulled from circulation in 1971 when the EPA began requiring municipal water treatment certifications. The cost to build one for a family of 4 is approximately $180 in materials. The output is roughly 1,200 gallons of clean water per inch of rain per 1,000 square feet of roof. If you have a 2,000 square foot roof and you get 30 inches of rain a year, that's 72,000 gallons of free water annually. Your municipal water bill just went to 0. Trick number 5. A spring house. If you have any kind of creek, spring, or year-round wet spot on your property, you can build a stone or concrete spring house over it. The water flowing beneath the floor keeps the interior at a constant 55 degrees. This is where the Amish keep dairy, cheese, aging, and root vegetables during the transition seasons when the root cellar is either too warm or too cold. Trick number 6. root cellars themselves. And I don't mean the kind of half-hearted basement corner most homesteading blogs describe. A proper Amish root cellar is dug 6 feet into the earth on the north side of a slope, lined with fieldstone, roofed with locust beams, and covered with 2 feet of packed earth. Interior temperature stays between 34 and 40 degrees year-round. Cabbage lasts 8 months, potatoes last 10, apples last a full year. The average American throws away $900 of spoiled produce every year. A properly built root cellar reduces that to essentially zero. Trick number 7, ice harvesting. This one sounds ancient, but the Amish still do it. In January and February, they cut blocks of ice from ponds, haul them to insulated ice houses lined with straw, and use that ice through the following December. One family I visited in Middlefield, Ohio, harvests approximately 2 tons of ice each winter. It lasts them until Christmas. Their refrigeration cost per year, $0. But now we need to talk about something bigger, because the reason none of this was passed down to you isn't just corporate advertising. It's something more deliberate than that. Between 1948 and 1956, the National Electrical Manufacturers Association funded what they called modernization committees in 42 state legislatures. These committees rewrote residential construction guidelines to essentially require electrical hookups, mandatory refrigeration certifications for anyone selling food, and minimum insulation standards that ironically made passive cooling techniques less effective. They didn't ban the old ways, they just made the new ways mandatory. And they charged you for every step of the mandate. Trick number 8, solar hot water heating with a black tank. You take a 55-gallon steel drum, paint it flat black, and mount it on the south-facing roof of a small outbuilding or shed. Connect it to your incoming water line with copper pipe. The sun heats the water to 130 degrees on a clear day. It costs roughly $70 to build. It saves an average of $900 a year in water heating costs. Trick number 9, hay box cooking. You bring a pot of stew, soup, or beans to a full boil, cook it for 10 minutes on the stove, then transfer the sealed pot into a wooden box packed with hay or straw insulation. The residual heat continues cooking the food for 6 to 8 hours. You use 90% less fuel than conventional cooking. The Amish have been using this since the 1800s. It was documented by the Kansas Agricultural College in 1917 as the single most fuel-efficient cooking method available to rural households. Trick number 10, windmill-powered water pumps. Not the big commercial wind turbines. I'm talking about the old air motor-style windmill, the same one you see on Amish farms. A 12-foot diameter windmill can pump between 150 and 300 gallons of water per hour with wind speeds of only 8 miles per hour. Original air motors from 1933 are still operating today. 91 years of service, no electricity, no maintenance beyond an annual greasing. Now, if you already own a house and you are thinking, this only applies to people building from scratch, stay with me, because this next part is specifically for you. I know what most of you are thinking right now. You're thinking, Eli, this is all wonderful, but I live in a 1962 ranch house in the suburbs. I don't have a spring. I don't have a barn. I have a mortgage and a homeowners association. And I hear you. My father lived in that exact house, and when I inherited it, I thought the same thing. But I want you to understand something. Every single technique I've described so far can be adapted to an existing home. Every single one. You just have to know where to start. Start with your basement. Because your basement is already a partial root cellar. It's already below grade. It's already surrounded by earth that stays at approximately 55 degrees year-round. All you have to do is section off the northeast corner with an interior wall of 2x4s and 2-inch rigid foam insulation. Install a small vent to the outside, ideally one that can be opened at night in the fall to bring in cool air. Add wooden shelving. That corner will hold at 45 degrees from October through May. It'll store 6 months of vegetables, canned goods, and preserves. Total cost, approximately $140. Total time, one Saturday. There's a reason I don't rush through these videos, and it's not because I'm padding for time. It's because I'd rather you actually learn one thing well than skim past 10. If you want the rest, the part I don't have time to say out loud. It's all written down in the Amish home system. Links in the description. Now, where were we? Next, the cold well. Even in a suburban house, you can build a smaller version of the Amish cold well. You dig a hole in the northeast corner of your yard, 3 feet deep and 2 feet wide. You line it with cinder block, you cover it with a heavily insulated wooden lid, and you run a 4-inch PVC pipe from the hole to a shaded location on the north side of the house. This is your outdoor cold storage. Butter, eggs, and dairy will hold at 45 degrees for weeks. This is the exact technique documented in that 1937 USDA bulletin I mentioned. And it's the exact technique Bishop Beiler preserved. Now let's talk about your windows. Because the cross-draft cooling trick I described earlier works in every house. It doesn't matter if your house was built in 1890 or 2010. You need one window on the south or west side of your house, one window on the north or east side, and a linen or muslin curtain you can dampen with a spray bottle. That's it. The physics of evaporative cooling has not changed since the Egyptians documented it 4,000 years ago. Add to that a solar chimney. And this is the trick nobody talks about. On the south side of your house, if you have any vertical wall space with sun exposure, you can install a solar chimney using nothing more than a sheet of black painted metal, a 2-inch air gap, and a piece of glass or clear polycarbonate on the outside. The sun heats the air in the cavity, the heated air rises and pulls air out of your house through a vent at the top. This creates negative pressure inside the house, which pulls in cool air from the shaded side. The system works entirely on sunlight. No fans, no moving parts. A 6-foot by 2-foot solar chimney can move approximately 300 cubic feet of air per minute through your house on a sunny day. That's more airflow than most window fans. And it costs less than $60 to build. Trick number 11, draft sealing with newspaper and flour paste. The Amish seal their windows every winter using a mixture of flour, water, and a small amount of vinegar as a paste. They apply this paste to strips of newspaper and press them into every window frame, door frame, and outlet gap. In spring, it peels off cleanly with warm water. Sounds crude. But the Department of Energy conducted a study in 1978 that showed this method reduced air infiltration by up to 62%, matching or exceeding modern weather stripping. That study, incidentally, was never published in a public journal. It was found in an internal DOE memo obtained through a Freedom of Information Act request in 2002. Trick number 12, thermal mass walls using stacked firewood. In every Amish farmhouse in Pennsylvania, you'll see a wall of firewood stacked against the north exterior of the house each winter. Not just for burning, for insulation. 6 feet of stacked firewood provides an R value of approximately 30. That's better than most modern insulation. And it slowly releases heat back to the house as the outer layers dry. Trick number 13, root vegetable clamps. If you don't have a root cellar or a cold well, you can preserve carrots, potatoes, turnips, and beets in an outdoor clamp. You dig a shallow pit, line it with straw, layer the vegetables inside, cover them with more straw, and top it with 6 inches of soil. The vegetables stay dormant, cold, and fresh from November through March. This was standard practice on American farms until the 1950s. Now it's forgotten. Trick number 14. Ash lye for soap and cleaning. Wood ash from your fireplace, soaked in rainwater, produces potassium hydroxide, which is the primary ingredient in soap. The Amish still make their own soap this way. Cost per bar, approximately 11 cents. Cost of comparable commercial soap, approximately $3. Trick number 15, hand-cranked grain mills. A properly made grist mill from Pleasant Hill Grain will grind 10 pounds of wheat into flour in about 40 minutes of hand cranking. Fresh ground flour retains nutrients that commercial flour has lost within days of milling. And you can buy whole wheat berries for about a third of the price of finished flour and store them for 30 years without spoilage. Trick number 16, fermenting for preservation. Sauerkraut, kimchi, pickles, fermented tomatoes. The Amish preserve 50 to 70% of their vegetables through lacto-fermentation, which requires no electricity, no canning jars, no pressure cookers, just salt, water, and a ceramic crock. Fermented vegetables last 6 to 12 months and contain more probiotics than any yogurt you can buy. Trick number 17, passive solar greenhouses. An unheated greenhouse attached to the south side of your house extends your growing season by 4 months, and provides passive heat to the interior of your home during winter days. A well-designed attached greenhouse can raise your indoor temperature by as much as 8 degrees during a sunny January afternoon. Trick number 18. Beeswax candles. 1 pound of beeswax produces about 20 hours of candlelight. The Amish keep bees not just for honey, but for wax. And beeswax burns cleaner and brighter than any petroleum-based candle. A single hive produces enough wax to light a home for 6 months. Trick number 19. Wood-fired laundry. A cast iron wash pot over a wood fire heats water for laundry using scrap wood you'd otherwise burn or discard. The Amish women I've observed in Lancaster do their laundry this way in warm months, hanging clothes on lines that dry in the sun with natural bleaching from ultraviolet light. Total cost of doing laundry, approximately zero. Trick number 20, ice house convection cooling. If you have a well-insulated space, you can use blocks of ice harvested in winter to cool a room in summer. A single 50-pound block of ice will cool a small bedroom by 10 degrees for approximately 6 hours as it slowly melts. Combined with proper ventilation, this is how the Amish keep their bedrooms comfortable in July. Trick number 21, manual water pumps at the kitchen sink. Every Amish kitchen has a hand pump installed directly at the sink, drawing water from either a cistern or a well. The pumps are made of cast iron, cost about $200, and last 100 years. If your municipal water goes out, you have zero access to water. If theirs goes out, they don't notice. Trick number 22, composting toilets. Not the fancy modern ones, the simple bucket and sawdust system that the Humanure Handbook by Joseph Jenkins documented in 1994. Zero water use, zero sewage bill, compost is usable on non-food gardens within 2 years. Trick number 23, barrel wood stoves for outbuildings. A simple steel barrel converted into a wood stove can heat a workshop, greenhouse, or small barn for essentially the cost of scrap wood. Kit prices from Vogelzang start at about $70. Trick number 24. Hand tools that last generations. An Amish scythe, purchased in 1940, is still being used today. Try that with your gas-powered string trimmer. A quality hand tool costs more up front, but has a functional lifespan measured in decades, not years. And now I owe you the finale. I promised you at the beginning of this video a specific technique from Bishop Jonas Beiler's preserved USDA bulletin collection. This is trick number 25, and it is genuinely the one that shocked me most when I found it. In April of 1937, a USDA extension agent named Harold Buchanan published bulletin number 1889, titled Heat Recovery in the Rural Household. That bulletin was printed once, distributed to approximately 4,000 county extension offices, and then quietly pulled from circulation in 1958. No official reason was ever given. The bulletin described a technique so simple and so effective that if it were widely adopted today, it would eliminate approximately 30% of residential heating costs in America. And Bishop Beiler had copied it by hand. It survived in his archive. The technique is called the Graywater Heat Recovery Loop. Here is what it does. Every time you take a shower, that hot water goes straight down the drain, taking approximately 85% of the heat energy you paid for with it. The bulletin described a simple modification. You take a 20-foot length of half-inch copper tubing and you coil it tightly around the outside of your main drain pipe, specifically the vertical section where the shower drain runs. You wrap it snugly. You insulate the outside of the coil with foam pipe wrap. And you connect the two ends of the copper coil into your cold water supply line, positioned so that the cold water flowing to your water heater passes through this coil first. Here is what happens. When you take a shower, hot water at 105 degrees flows down the drain. The copper coil wrapped around the drain pipe absorbs approximately 60% of that heat and transfers it to the cold water flowing into your water heater. Your water heater receives water at 75 degrees instead of 55 degrees. Your water heater does 40% less work to bring that water up to temperature. Your monthly water heating bill drops by roughly 40%. Total cost of materials, $47 for the copper tubing, foam wrap, and connectors. Total installation time, about 3 hours if you're doing it yourself. No permits required in most jurisdictions because you're not modifying the drain, you're wrapping the outside of an existing pipe. No plumber required. You can literally do this on a Saturday morning with a pipe cutter, a wrench, and a roll of Teflon tape. Bishop Beiler taught this technique to his sons. His sons taught it to their neighbors. And today, if you visit almost any Amish home in Holmes County, Ohio, you'll find this exact copper coil wrapped around the drain in the utility room. They don't call it a gray water heat recovery loop. They call it Beiler's coil. And they've been quietly saving 40% on their hot water heating costs for the last 87 years while the rest of America was buying tankless heaters and heat pumps and being told there was no better way. The bulletin still exists. I've held a copy in my own hands. It was quietly rediscovered by a researcher at Ohio State's Agricultural Archives in 2015, but it has never been republished. It's not in your library, it's not on Amazon, it's not taught in any trade school in America, but it works. It works right now. And once you install it, it will work for the next 50 years without any maintenance whatsoever. That, my friend, is what the utility companies never wanted you to know. Because a technique that cuts your water heating bill by 40% permanently is a technique that costs them money every single month for the rest of your life. And there are dozens more just like it. Buried in bulletins, preserved by bishops, passed down in barns. You did not lose this knowledge. This knowledge was taken from you deliberately by people who profited from your ignorance. And every year you continue without it, you send them money you were never meant to owe. But now you know, and knowing changes everything. Because a man who knows how to keep his house warm without paying a monthly fee is a free man. And a free man is dangerous to anyone who is counting on his dependence. If you are the kind of person who believes that real knowledge has been quietly pushed aside to protect someone else's profit, you already know what you need to do. You need to share this with someone, a brother, a neighbor, a son, because this knowledge only survives if we pass it on. That's how it survived the last 100 years, and that's how it will survive the next 100. I want to hear from you in the comments below. Which one of these 25 techniques are you going to try first? Is it Beiler's coil? Is it the cold well in your basement? Is it the solar chimney on your south wall? Tell me. Tell me specifically. Not just that you liked the video, I want to know what you're actually going to build. Because when you write it down, you commit to it, and when you commit to it, you do it. So drop a comment right now and tell me which technique you're starting with this weekend. And if you're new here, subscribe, but don't subscribe just to support the channel. Subscribe because you are joining a growing community of people who are done being told what they can and cannot do in their own homes. People who remember that this country was built by folks who solved their own problems with their own hands. Next week, I'm going to show you 7 Amish food preservation techniques that will keep meat, dairy, and vegetables fresh for over a year with zero refrigeration. And one of them involves a specific fermentation method that was documented in an 1892 Pennsylvania Dutch cookbook that was banned from public libraries in 1953. You do not want to miss that one. The old ways still work. They always did. Somebody just needed to remind you. I'll see you on the next one. Before you go, I want to leave you with something else. Something I didn't have room for in the main list, but that I think matters just as much as any coil or cold well or solar chimney. It's a story about a man named Amos Stoltzfus who lived in Lancaster County from 1891 to 1974. Amos was a blacksmith by trade, but he was also what the Amish call a tinkerer, which in their community is both a compliment and a mild warning. He built things, he fixed things. And in 1938, when the Rural Electrification Act was sweeping through Pennsylvania and government agents were going door to door offering to hook up farms to the grid for almost nothing, Amos said no. Not because he was stubborn, not because he was religious about it, though that was part of it. He said no because he had already built a system on his own farm that worked. A gravity-fed water system from a spring uphill, a root cellar that held 40 degrees year-round, a wood-fired cook stove with a water jacket that gave his family hot baths every Saturday night, a hand-cranked cream separator, a smokehouse, an ice house packed with sawdust that kept blocks of pond ice frozen from January until August. The government agent, According to a letter Amos wrote to his brother in Ohio dated April 11, 1938, told him that within 20 years, every farm in America would be on the grid and any family that refused would be left behind. Amos wrote back, and I'm paraphrasing from the translation, that being left behind by a system built on dependency was not being left behind at all. It was staying free. He died in 1974 at the age of 83 in the same farmhouse he was born in, having never paid a single electric bill in his life. His grandchildren still live on that farm. They still use the spring. They still use the root cellar. The smokehouse burned down in 1961 and was rebuilt from the same plans in 1962 using hand-hewn oak beams from a barn that was torn down 3 miles away. I tell you this story because I want you to understand that what we've been talking about for the last hour is not theoretical. It is not a fantasy. It is not homesteader cosplay. Real people with real families in real houses have been doing this for real generations. And the only reason it feels radical to you right now is because we have been trained deliberately and systematically to believe that comfort requires a corporation, that warmth requires a utility, that food requires a supply chain, that water requires a pipe with someone else's meter on it. Consider what your grandparents paid for electricity in 1950. Adjusted for inflation, the average American household spent about $11 a month. Today, that same household spends over $180. Consider what a chest freezer full of food costs to run for a year, around $90. Consider what one propane refill costs now compared to 1999. It has tripled. Every year the meter runs faster. Every year the bill goes higher. Every year the dependency deepens. And every year in a quiet farmhouse in Lancaster County or Holmes County or LaGrange County, an Amish family lights a kerosene lamp, opens a jar of peaches that was canned in August, ladles cold spring water into a tin cup, and eats supper without owing anyone a dime. That is the quiet victory nobody talks about. That is the freedom the brochures never sell you. And that is what these 25 techniques were designed over the course of 300 years to protect, not comfort, not convenience, freedom, the freedom to sit at your own table, in your own house, warmed by your own fire, drinking your own water, and know that no switch anyone else controls can take it away from you.